So I asked who knows Waylon, but maybe I should ask who doesn't know Waylon, who didn't hear the name.
No, I heard it, but I don't exactly remember.
Oh, okay. So yeah, that's
just the recording.
Yes, recording.
It's already recording for 30 minutes.
Awesome. Yeah. So I think I think an introduction is necessary. So the second question is, who doesn't know what X or XORG or X11 is? Everyone knows, that mixed ingredient.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think I can start now. I didn't say that before, because most of the people know me here. Yeah.
Now I remember what Wayland is.
But I like it that you came here without knowing. I didn't say that before because most of the people know me anyway, but my name is Drota, and this is going to be about Waylon. So there's a short answer about Waylon. Waylon is, Waylon is the future. Waylon is the future of display servers under Linux, and we're probably not getting away with that without this future. Let's see why. So this is the official text from freedesk.org explaining what Waylon is. I would focus on the second sentence first. Waylon is a protocol for a compositor to talk to its clients, as well as a C library implementation of that protocol. So it introduces a couple of words, compositor, clients, and the protocol. These are the three key words because they describe the relationship of things which are relevant in Waylon. There is the first sentence. Waylon is intended as a simpler replacement for X, easier to develop and maintain. So we can get an idea that people got sick of X and want something different. And we will come back to that. But first, about the protocol. So we get an idea, client, compositor, and protocol. So it's all about Windows and how they are placed on your desktop. Well, not just Windows, there's also displays. We have a great example here where there are two displays and they might be running on Waylon, we don't know. Well, actually we do know because this looks like a Mac. Waylon is dealing with Windows pointers. Here, I'm pointing the pointer with my pointer, and how they talk to different things. Why do are not people happy with X? X turns out to be rather leaky, and you cannot really contain it very well. It's also somewhat synchronous, so that when an application, this happens all the time to me, when a remote application gets stuck at some particular point, the whole desktop becomes unresponsive, and if, like, for example, the internet goes down at the time because it's remote, it's a really nasty time because you can't do anything. You can always switch to a virtual and kill everything now. But the main issue with X was that it was not possible to sandbox it. If you could create a sandbox for your application, I don't know, we could talk about the web browser, but web browser is doesn't have that much freedom with the operating system. If you could make a sandbox for your application, you could still never assure that the application doesn't, for example, try to snoop on your key presses or doesn't try to watch your desktop. That was a big issue with X. I don't know the exact reasons, but it was deemed unfixable. Another thing, so with Waylon, you cannot do that. You cannot snoop on the input of other programs. You cannot generate input events that appear to come from the user. Yeah, that was another issue with X. Or you cannot capture all the input events to the exclusion of the user's application. So if, for example, you could not spawn a new application, in X you could theoretically spawn a fake desktop, take all the input events and generate some fake output, and the user would never know because there's just no way for that scenario to present it to the user. So yeah, this is Gone with Wayland. Wayland preserves the separation of all applications unless you deliberately break it. So Wayland, well, you could break it if you design a new protocol which is fundamentally broken. So that's one of the main points of Wayland. Wayland is composed of little pieces which are contained in protocols, and they are called interfaces. And these are some examples of interfaces that you can find in Wayland. Some of them are rather important, they are on the top, and some of them are less important, but I think I selected a representative sample of what a particular compositor, in this case Rootstan from the WRoots project, what kind of things Wayland deals with. So first goes a seed. A seed is a user, pretty much. A user can have a keyboard and they can have pointers, and that's rather important when we're dealing with applications when we want to control them. There's a shell, which is a protocol for showing Windows to the user. And so unless you are supporting shell, you're not going to have Windows that you can move around on the desktop, and you're not going to have minimization, for example, or program icons, I suppose. Output manager, without that you're not going to have multiple displays. Tablet manager, you will not have graphical devices. Gamma control is for gamma control. Screenshots are also not straightforward. They are straightforward, but they are not a given. You have to have a separate protocol, and so on and so on. So for everything that you want to do, you have to think about it, and you have to implement in your compositor and make sure that the applications also can make use of it. So this causes a bit of a mess when compositors cannot be counted on, when you have different features and different compositors. You have different support, or different protocols are supported in different clients. So this is, I don't know, I think it's kind of a cost of having a more safe system. Some things are still missing. I think the video recording is still in progress, but well, let's see what happens in the future. One thing that a lot of people think that Wayland is Weston. Weston is not the same as Wayland. Weston is a compositor and Wayland is a specification. So Weston implements Wayland. It's one of the many Wayland compositors, but this one is, I think, the reference even one. So people really think about it a lot. Yeah, and that's on the compositor, but on the compositor side. But on the application side, we also have, as I said before, the applications have to support Wayland and selected protocols. And we have that with GTK Plus 3 and Qt5. These are the versions of those libraries that started supporting Wayland. There are a couple of other libraries. I think SDL is one, and TFL, I think. Yeah, but they are not as big, so I decided to just mention them. On the compositor side, there are actually quite a lot of compositors. The three main ones are in C. These are Weston, GNOME Shell, which supports Wayland since a couple of versions, and Sway, which was made from the ground as a Wayland compositor. It's one of the tiling window manager. It used to be a tiling window manager, but now it's a Wayland compositor when talking about Wayland. And on the Rust side, there's Waycooler, there's Rustan, and there's Fireplace. Out of these three, or actually out of all of them that I could find, only Waycooler is actively developed, which is kind of sad. But let's ask ourselves, why do we even bother with using Rust for Wayland compositors? I'm just going to focus on compositors in the rest of the talk, because GTK and Qt are not that interesting to Rust because there is a lot of resources in that, and they are really language agnostic, so I don't need to focus on that. But I think focusing on on the compositor side is much more important. But why did I start bothering with it? So I'm working for Purism, which is a company that's putting the user security and privacy first and foremost. And we are developing a new phone that's going to respect users in this way. And turns out that we don't have a compositor for that. Our decision was to use Wayland, but unfortunately, the compositors are just not there. We have started using one of the C compositors, but maybe at some point we will have to adjust this compositor to work well on constrained screens, and why not take that opportunity to start using Rust? So, why should we use Rust if we can get the important qualities of a compositor without it? Maybe we don't have to change many things, maybe we don't have to make the switch to Rust, but let's see what Rust can offer us. The compositor or window manager should be reliable. That's first and foremost. You do not want your user to have the window manager crash and take all the applications with it. That's completely unacceptable. The other thing is speed. That's because the user is interacting with it, and that kind of comes with smoothness. You do not want to start recording videos and see that the frame rate dropped to 15 or 10. It also has to be smooth to allow for quick interactions. You do not want to wait for your input. You have to be a thin layer that doesn't introduce any overhead. So this is also important. Quick to build. We are shipping in April, and we want this to get done while we have a lot of other projects to care about. So what does Rust give us? So Rust gives us the type system, which is introducing reliability a lot, in my opinion. The speed comes from zero-cost abstractions, which do not, they introduce very little overhead compared to C, so we are, at most, we are even, but we might be losing a little bit, but that shouldn't be much of an issue. And when it comes to smoothness, I have to come back here and think about how applications interact with the system. Applications usually, I don't know, for example, a video player is going to update its own window, and it's going to throw some surfaces to draw, and it's going to, I don't know, receive some input or something. But on the other side of the screen, you can have another application, which is a game, for example, which is also trying to update the buffers or whatever, draw some things. But like when you look at them, they are completely separate, and this makes it possible, hopefully, to have the compositor treat them separately, and with Rust support for concurrency, that could give some possible way to parallelize those things so that they do not block each other, and that would improve, possibly that would improve some interactivity. When it comes to how quick to build it is, how easy to maintain it would be, I like the Rust standard libraries. As I said, In the introduction, I really hate C because of its standard library, which pretty much doesn't exist. Today, I discovered that there was a bug because a Boolean is expected to be 4 bytes big in some particular library, and that was bothering me for 2 days until someone else discovered the issue. So the standard library in Rust is so much better. Perhaps this is enough of a reason to think that it's going to be easier to write a compositor in Rust. So what's the state of things if we actually want to go that way? There are a couple of libraries. It actually looks like a somewhat healthy ecosystem, but most of those come from a single project which is called Smithy. I hope I pronounced it right. There is a library on the left side of this of the slide. You can see three entries which are related to the client side, and I will not talk that much about them, but I want to show that there is something there. And there are three, I think, like completely even independent implementations for a server side, as in compositor side. The gray stripe indicates what has been written in C, and the stuff on top is what has been written in Rust. And I skipped the sys crates and just included the RS crates to make it simpler. So there's Wayland server, on top of which Smithy is built. Wayland server is a basic crate supporting, it's a basic crate based on the basic Wayland library to create servers. So the bottom library that you can see here is straight from the Wayland project and really stands on its own. So it's quite a low level wrapper over whatever minimum stuff you have to use to build Wayland things. And there is a compositor framework which is called Smithy, and Fireblaze seems to be using that framework. Going further, there are the twin projects WLC and WL Roots. Both of them are built on top of Wayland server, actually. So they are kind of high-level implementations of several protocols for Wayland, but they are written in C. And the Rust wrappers are wrappers over high-level libraries. Out of those, WLC is supposedly much higher level. And there are some compositors written on top of those. So the only compositor I managed to run is Waycooler. Actually, I haven't even managed to run it, but we'll come to that later. So as you can see, it's kind of disappointing because all of those are building upon C. What about Rust? The news is not so good. Apparently, there is an issue with Mesa and OpenGL, meaning that you pretty much cannot write a server implementation in Rust or in any other language that's not using official C libraries. That comes from a conversation from last year, which kind of died out. So I don't know whether this is still the official position of the library maintainers. But anyway, there was this project Perception Skyline, which tried to prove it wrong. And this is kind of also inactive right now. So I do not really have high hopes for this to change in the near future. So this is really disappointing because it means we are not getting pure Rust protocol implementations, even though the author said that it would be really easy and nice to write it in Rust. It's a very sad time. So, demo time. Let's see what this is all about. I have a demo prepared, or I had a kind of an interactive version of a demo where we could write a couple of functions to make the example compositor do things. One of those things, or maybe I should show you the compositor first. The compositor is going to be based on WL Roots RS. And let's do it. Let's build the examples. You can see that I had to mess with Apache. Okay. So I had to mess a little bit with the patch because the library would not. Oh, what's going on? Oh, yeah, I was debugging something. XDG shell is the name of the protocol which is allowing Windows to be shown on the screen. And I need to find where I save this. Well, I'm just going to put this here. I have to find. So I left this somewhere and I forgot where, which is kind of disappointing. The compositor is basically a demo from WL Roots RS, and the only responsibility of that demo is to be able to show Windows. It needed some modifications because GTK is requiring a protocol that was not there, but there was a one line change. So it's pretty much the stock configuration. I should have it. Somewhere, okay. So this is a compositor window. It's not going to look very well because it doesn't have any scaling. I guess we could add some scaling if we really wanted to, but like, let's just show what it can do. It cannot do really much. And that's the first surprising thing. Yeah. So when I open an application in there, It's there. I can kind of click on it, but not really. The keyboard input works, but I cannot do much with it. I cannot, for example, move the window, or I cannot hit the buttons because that stuff hasn't been implemented in this compositor and it's not a baseline. So I was thinking that maybe one of the easy tasks that we could try to do here is to make the windows movable when clicking. It sounds like not a very difficult task, and the compositor itself is rather simple. It has 300 lines, so well, it is kind of simple, but not too simple. So there are three main important places. The first important place is the state of the whole thing, which here describes what kind of things the compositor is capable of handling. One of them is a cursor manager, the other one is a keyboard, another one is the layout, which I think is output here. There is another cursor here, I don't know why. And there's shells, which is, in other words, windows, and the handle for the whole seat, which should contain cursor, keyboard, and the cursor manager. So what we need to look at is the second place, which actually renders the shells as in windows. Well, the protocol name is XDD shell, and I don't really know why exactly this has to call Windows shells, but anyway. And this one is able to place windows on the screen. It iterates over all the shells. It gives them widths and heights. It gives them positions, and then it renders them on layer on outputs, which means screens. And this render shells function gets called every frame, so every frame we have the possibility to draw things. There is a macro and some weird syntax that you might have noticed. As far as I can tell, this is a special macro which is particular to wroots.rs, which unpacks handles to objects and matches them to the object data. In Wayland, every object that is being interacted with from the compositor, between the compositor and the client, every object is given a handle, and only the handle is being passed around. So whenever there's a call, the call doesn't really send the object. The call can send only call some. Yeah, the communication doesn't really send the object. The call can ask for the object to be created on server side, and the server then starts tracking its state. The call can change the object, or the call can update the object in some way, but in the end it's the server or the receiver which tracks the state. And on the other hand, the one who asked the object to be created also probably needs to keep some state of the object. So the object is just there is a handle which corresponds to two things, the object on one side and the object on the other side. So when we are looking at this, the state actually stores handles, but we need to get to the objects themselves somehow. And this is the border of Rust and C. The objects are C objects, and the handle needs to be transformed into the C object, which is then wrapped in Rust and possible to operate from within Rust. So in the end, you do not have to remember that much about it. It works rather transparently, and instead of thinking about handles, you just unpack the handle and forget about it. So this is the second important thing, which is going to be useful for positioning windows. And the third important thing is that, let me find it, pointer added now, but closer. Structures, seek handler, close, cursor state, no, that's a structure. We need to look for implementations. Input manager? Oh yes, there is a pointer added. X pointer, oh yeah, there is a pointer handler. And the pointer handler just deals with events that come on a pointer, that come from the pointer. So the event from the event that comes from some input library comes here and gets passed on to the client. Let's take one of those to see what exactly it is. The motion handler is taking a motion event, it's processing it, and then it takes the wroots object and gives it a high level command. So yeah, there is not much difficulty here. The button event handles whatever happens to the button. It handles the down event or the up event, and it passes that on to the client with a seed event. So this is rather simple. So what we need to do in order to move a window, if we want to stay simple, is just two things. The button press to know when the mouse button has been clicked, and the motion event. So if we want to start moving windows, we definitely want to know where they are, and currently we do not have that. We have a shell state, but it only considers the handle. So let's add two fields to the structure and make them according to the Wayland convention floats. X, oh wait, I did it here in the wrong order. So let's add two variables that are going to track the state of when it comes to the position. So when, once we have those two variables, we are going to start getting errors, and because I'm too late to go through all the code by hand, I'm just going to let the compiler point it out to me. That's not the right command. It's also not the right command, but this is that's, the shell state is missing X and Y in line 108. So I will have to just update all the places where the state should be. And let's say that Windows start at X equals 0 and Y equals 0. I think that's, we could do something more elaborate, but that's going to be enough for now. Okay, so now we have some code, but we also want this to be rendered in the right place. While this is still 0 and 0, let's make it a bit more complicated and plug the origin of the render box where the window is going to place. Where let's modify it. So we have the shell, and we have the shell state. So let's take shell state dot x and dot y, and let's see whether we got the types right. No. Now it's much better. So, what's missing is handling of the mouse events. Where was that again? Let's start handling the buttons. So first we need to have a distinction between when the mouse pointer is just moving around and the distinction and the state where the mouse pointer is moving things. So let's find whether we have that. There should be a state on the mouse pointer, which is, yeah, normal and moving. So when the pointer is held down, it's going to be treated as moving. Let's come back to that place and put the pointer in the moving state whenever it clicks down on something. I think I should start using button events because that's probably going to contain the information whether it's a down or up event. This function is something I wrote before, and it just finds finds out whether a certain window has been clicked. So if no window has been clicked, then we don't have much to do. But if the window has been clicked, then let's put the pointer in the moving state, or when the event is much. Event and what's here. Okay. So there is an event which is another WRoot structure. This is going to be fun because now we have to dig all the way down to C. Maybe somewhere here. Oh, there is input for button event state. Oh, great. So all I have to do is check state. Was that a call? If that was a call. No, I forgot. The possible state. Emotional. desk. Okay, I hope that compiler will tell me what's necessary there. So we are inside the generated crate, and I have a feeling that it's not going to be so easy to find out what possible values there are. The annoying thing is that the documentation is not really online, but I tried to generate it and I might have it without realizing it. So the documentation should be in. Yeah, there's something in there. So there is the documentation of the crates, and hopefully I can find what I'm looking for. And we were looking for WLR button states. What could that be?
You just search type S, and then...
What do you mean?
If you type S, then you'll get to the search button, then you can do WLR.
No way.
Go to
image. Press and release, yes. That's a bit much work, in my opinion, to just find the two possible steps of a button, but I hope it's going to be worth it. Wait, sketch, I need to fix it, right? Did we import it? Oh. Okay, so depending on the event state, we are going to do different things. So when the button is pressed, let's just put this directly to the state. and the shell is that, but what we need is a cursor. Yeah, okay. So let's do. So this thing is the cursor object, but what we are really looking for is the cursor state. So that's directly here. Let's just create a new state. Cursor. The handle is simply called cursor. Cursor becomes the same handle. It's probably not going to work. And the state. Okay, so this is not quite right. I just realized that we are turning, or maybe that's fine. So when we are moving the cursor around, first we assume, we make a check that we are over a window. And if we are over a window and we are pressing, then we are going to put the cursor in the dragging mode. But if we release the button, we are going to be put in the normal mode. So the situation that could go wrong is that we did not find the shell and we released the cursor, but somehow that means that the cursor somehow left the shell while dragging it. So that's rather unlikely. So I hope we're not going to have to deal with it for this example. So we got the cursor state, and we need to have the general mutable state, which is fine. So what happens when we press it? I think nothing really happens. We need to do is just place it in the state. State cursor. Yeah, I wonder if that's going to work.
You need fat arrows instead of
what?
Fat arrows instead of columns in the mesh.
Again, fat arrows, okay.
Oh no, in the mesh, or in the
arrow. That's not it.
I think you need a column.
Oh.
You need a column in the cursor line.
In the cursor line?
Yeah.
What, which column?
The one below, after the columns.
Oh, yeah. Well, so I expect that this is going to be a borrow issue. Unknown few, that's even nicer. I think I didn't do that. Cursor handle and cursor state. Okay. Went a bit too far. This is already the cursor state. Yep. I really hate that. So what's the issue here? The issue is with that, probably. Let's take a closer look. So this is kind of annoying because this macro is taking over the errors a little bit. And
shouldn't you remove the first definition of cursor because you are defining the cursor state?
This one?
Yes. Probably. So or you should do it later. I mean, that's what I. Is it
already
changing it or you're not able to reuse it?
Oh, so you're saying that I should scope this?
This really is borrowing there. That means that after that you cannot use it again.
Or I could clone it. But this let is not, has no place here. Unexpected end of macro invocation. Why did that happen? Yeah, that's kind of annoying. No, it doesn't complain now, does it? Okay, so this macro is kind of annoying sometimes because then you get an error like this and it's not doing a good enough statement. Expected a statement. Yeah. Expected a statement. So yeah, this macro is doing something and I think it wants this to be a statement. We're going to do that.
Can you put the let underscore equals in the block?
Of this block?
Yeah.
Let's see how that works. Almost. I think it has trouble with blocks. If we do that, it might just work. That's not the right bracket. I think that's better because now we have the same problem in a different place. Yeah. Excuse me. I think it's expecting us to return something, and we are not returning anything. And this is, that's better, but now we have our control flow completely destroyed. But let's try to go through it. Cannot move out of borrowed content. And this is something much nicer because now we have a simple issue. So let's make a copy of the cursor.
Can you explain why you don't override state cover mode?
Why which?
You could also just override the mode field on state cover.
Yeah.
Probably.
It's kind of something that I didn't really think about. Much better, but because of this, actually we don't need this. I think the issue is somewhere else. So let's bring it back and reinstate later if necessary. Oh no. Is this what happened before? I don't know.
We can try to
what?
What's wrong with that?
There is a state. So this is funny because that part worked before. State shuttle. So let's take a closer look at this issue. Okay, I think I understand the issue. So the macro is doing something funny with those variables where I think it puts everything below that inside some kind of a closure. So if this part is in a closure, then the borrow is going to be difficult, the borrow of the state outside of the closure. Or since that's at least my working hypothesis. And if that's an issue, then we can just put this part inside the macro, inside the closure. The closure is to make the cursor variable resolve or something. So we can just put this inside the closure and somehow communicate the return value, which is, I don't know, some kind of yes or no. But actually, it's going to be much more useful for this example if we return the actual shell handle. And we can return, this is just a simple function that compares whether the shell is at this point on the screen. And I just realized that it does not contain the shell offset, so let's do that now. Now that's the opposite, that should be. So the shell has an offset, and this is the offset, and this call checks whether the shell window contains a point on the screen, which is X. So we should take the offset first. Contains shell geometry. This is simple mathematics, but it's really annoying when there is a lot of people hoping to that you get this right.
Live coding is always hard.
Yeah. So then we have this offset. No, I think that would be right. Yeah, that should be fine. If not, we'll cover this. And let's return the actual handle of the shell. Can I even do that? If that is true and that just contains, returns the contained point. So let's not just return that, but place another condition here and return result. It's called shell handle, I think. Or let's just return the whole shell state. It's going to be easier. The example of a thing that they want to do in the other function. It's kind of annoying because the handle cannot return immediately from the function. So I had to do the condition inside this macro and then return either true or false after the macro ends. So I will have to do that again, I think, because I can't just simply do a return from the whole function here. So if.
Can you do let r equals if?
What?
Can, does d handle return the last value?
Yeah.
And you can just do d handle and you get the last value out, right? You don't have to do it.
Yeah. So this is because that's a closure.
Yeah.
So I just cannot escape the parent function from a closure, so I have to resort to that kind of logic. And I'm going to do some.
But do you need to do that? You can just, in the handler, return true or false, like by calling show geometry contains one.
Yeah, so if I do that, I'm going to get stuck inside the handle because that's the macros to a.
Sure, but shell state is from the outer scope. It's your the iterator.
I think it's borrowed somehow. I mean, what do you mean to do? Do you mean?
Oh, you mean because of the add shell equals whatever?
Yeah, so after add shell, this becomes a closure. I cannot escape.
Just closure.
Yeah, that's it. So it's moved inside the closure, so I cannot really escape from here to here. I can only escape from here to here, and then I have to deal with it again. It's kind of annoying, but that's what we have with this library. The other library is not so annoying because it's more rusty. This is just a high-level wrapper over WLRoots, which is itself a high-level library, and Smithy and other compositor is a bit more idiomatic Rust, as far as you can tell. I didn't do as much work on that, but it seems nicer. So I think that's going to be easier. Yeah, well, I can just do that. Return some. Well, let's hope that works. There's much less errors than I expected. I've been coding in C for a while, so this is naturally and cannot apply there. Okay, that's expected very well. 242. And now. Oh, that's the same situation as we had before. We want to return the whole function, but we cannot do that because we are inside the closure and even inside the closure. But this one doesn't really matter because it ends with the rest. So we really need to escape from here. So let's just return that. We are not inside a loop, so we can do that. I want to keep this variable data, so perhaps I should do that. Return nothing. Okay. Let's see whether that makes sense, even though I should probably use match or something. No rules expected. We don't do that. Okay. Yes, we got out of this. This was a journey. So now we are at the point where we know which shell we clicked, and we know whether we clicked in or whether we clicked out, which is amazing. Let's save this shell so that we know what we are moving later, because we still have to handle this onMotion event, and if we do not know what we are moving, then it doesn't really help us. So for that purpose, I am going to save the state, I'm going to save the shell handle in the cursor state, which might not be such a good idea after more thinking, but I'm not here to think right now. Actually, let's in a different way, let's just put the shell inside the enum. Yay, that's going to be so elegant. Shell of cursor mode. Where is my cursor mode? That's not a structure, that's an enum. And what did that say? No. Oh, that's what it is called. Oh no, I did something wrong. What shell state is here? What's that?
Something that doesn't look.
Oh, well. Match the match.
Then just move the match thing.
What? Which match?
Yeah, so the state further mode equals match all of this into the currently empty block.
Yeah.
All this in there? Oh, we want to move all this in here?
Or the true branch of the issue.
Yeah.
The true branch of the issue?
Yeah, there.
Yeah.
To move it here? What? Oh, you want to do this in here?
Yeah.
I guess that will work. That's too much. Oh, that works. That works. I like it. And then if that's young, what happens with this?
Of course.
Where did we borrow it? We borrowed it here, did we? Where does it exactly contain? Yeah, I think it's...
Yeah, you did this because of that, so if you bring it back here, you get that.
Okay, so let's just do it in the procedural way. Is not going to do any borrows behind my back. That's how it is. No, that's fine. Oh, come on. Shell state. Right, where does this happen? Okay, oh right, I wanted to clone this. Because that's just a handle, so cloning hopefully will not hurt me. But then we still have the other issue of where did I borrow this? I borrowed state of the cursor.
Cursor borrowed.
It looks to me like this should not stay borrowed here.
Yeah, but find shell is returning something that is inside of state, right?
Oh.
And so that's pulling the lifetime out of the scope to shell state.
Yeah.
Does it have as well that we have measured and returned the handle already instead of
Let's clone handle inside the handle.
Do find cell.clone?
Yeah. Should be enough. Yeah. Well, I have to change the return value. Oh, I do not really need to change the return value. So what were we returning?
No. Clone everything.
You're not sure, right?
No.
It's still an option.
Oh, it's still.
But you can, you just put everything in the map.
Okay. Yeah, actually, do that in some runs, that'll be fine.
So, in the what branch?
In the some runs of the map.
Yeah.
Right.
Just.
Yeah. In the some branch of the map, let's do it. Shell state. Let's see what happens. And no fuel handle because they call it different. They call it show. Yeah, that works. And what
they work with, they compile, right?
What does it give us? It gives us the shell handle inside the state, which is already not bad. And it allows us to move on to the second function, which is actually dealing with positions of things. So here we have the motion event, and we can find out the delta. So what we need to do is find the handle that's currently present, which is easy because that's cursor, and what did I name it? Did I put it here? Yes, I put it somewhere. All right. So that's mode. The handle is moving. Yeah, something like that. Where the handle lives. Now we have to take this handle, resolve it to the actual window, which is saved in the shell state. And then we have to change its position, which sounds simple enough. It's probably not going to be so simple as I'm saying, but let's pretend that it will be. So what we need to do is first check whether this makes any sense. If cursor mode, cursor, I think we have the wrong cursor here. We should be looking at this cursor. I could have named that better. So this means that we are actually dealing with someone clicking and dragging the window, which is already quite nice. So we have this state of the cursor, but what we do not have is the state of the windows, and I'm going to be lazy and just copy this. Where was that again? Yeah. Actually, we do not need to handle anything. What we have is the state, and so what we need to do is to compare the clone to the handle, and I do not know whether to compare the two handles, one of which is a clone, and see whether they are the same, and I'm not quite sure whether they have a defined equality. Let's find it out. The handle of the shell is a shell state shell equals to our handle, which we have from the cursor movement. Um, We do not really need to do anything, or we do not need to do something, but we do not expect that this is going to happen to multiple windows. So when we have that, let's find what we do need to do. We need to add effects. And hopefully everything will work now magically.
You need a couple of semicolons. You need a couple of semicolons because your D handle requires semicolons at the end of this.
Oh, right. Do we need that? Yes, we're
getting them. Maybe the for loop too.
Maybe.
Just put them everywhere.
Yeah. But that's the same issue as with not putting them anywhere. Wait, what? Oh, that, semicolons. Good point. unexpected end of my friend. What the hell, people?
You don't have return value at all.
No.
Can you remove the last semicolon?
I think that might be it, actually. Yes. So this macro is kind of annoying, finicky.
Dot mode. Dot mode somewhere.
Anyway, so.
Probably.
Okay, state cursor mode. Yeah, you're right. You're thinking faster than that. Sound reference. Yeah. So on one hand side we have a reference, on the other side we have a handle, which ones, which this is one of the nodes that always confuses me because it reverses the order of things that they explain to
me. Deref, deref.
Yeah, deref something. Which one? Let's try deression. That's not a reference. What way? Oh, this should be a ref. Cannot mutably borrow the field of an immutable bind. That's fair enough.
Do you want to make a mod and
a what?
On the outside of the in statement.
Of the in statement,
yeah.
Yeah.
Need a mutable reference.
And also here. Now we have a borrow issue. But that's fine. Oh, so apparently the state here is outside of the closure, and here is also, wait, inside of the closure? What's the issue again?
And I have no idea. Just do two D-handle calls right after another.
Yeah, before. Double the handle.
Before what?
Before we did the double D-handle.
No, I don't.
And like in line 238, just add another D-handle.
No, I think it's just going to be fine. So I'm using the state. I'm sharing the state which is inside the closure and like also here. So I'm borrowing that and I'm still referencing the big state from the inside. So if I clone the state, which is really not a very, it is a big issue because then I'm trying to modify the state and I want to modify the global state. So that's kind of annoying. And what do I do with this?
Can't we do the same thing like in line 247? Another handle?
Yeah, I think that's going to work because we only need a cursor between here and there. And what we are actually let's do it this way. Let's put that here. bump here. And does that help us much? With this return, it's kind of annoying. Let's try.
But you can write.
Yeah. So I just break here. And that's just going to work anyway.
You need to look at systemic calls again. You need to remove that.
I don't need this one anymore.
Whoa.
Oh. So let's see where that goes. That's a build, not build, but there's a run somewhere here. Activity show test, and in another, yeah, application, and let me prove to everyone that I'm clicking things, and I'm moving and nothing happens, which is exactly what we expected. So what's the issue here?
There's no unit test.
There is no unit test. That's true. I'm probably failing the match. Oh, that's a lot of initialization. I'm curious whether this events keep showing when I'm just doing things, because that's incompatible with printer debugging. But no, they do not show anymore. So I think printer debugging is where it's at. So let's make sure that we are capturing this part. And let's print out the state after every button event. Let's try with that. Okay, I do the cut.
Lowercase d. Do you write?
Thank you. So we can try that, and I'm pressing the button and nothing happens, which is fine, because that change of state only happens when there's a window underneath. So let's pop up a window. There's a window, and now something should happen when I press. Well, it's happening. Let's bring it back here. There is, wow, there is more information than I asked for. Interesting. Actually, that might be useful either. So we have a cursor mode, which is becoming the moving or dragging mode when I press down, and then it comes back to normal after I release, which is quite fine, but then we might have a reason to think that something is wrong when it comes to the actual movement. Which, seeing that this is not a straightforward function, I would bet on that. So what do we want to check? Let's just print something whenever anything is moving at all. I think that's going to be the right spot. Let's print a delta, for example. Where's the delta? Delta. Oh, there's two deltas actually.
Yeah.
Ah, just do this. Yes. That's one, step one. Step two is that window. Step three is coming back to the console. Right, press. Things happen. Oh, I think that the cursor blinking, that's generating new events. So let's try moving. When I'm moving, nothing happens. How could that be? So yeah, when I'm clicking, things happen, but when I'm moving, when I'm moving, nothing happens, which is concerning to say the least. Perhaps we are doing the absolute motion and we have no idea about it, which might be the case. So that's going to be more annoying. Let's see what happens when I... I don't remember where a mouse is an absolute or a relative device. So I just bring the position. Oh. Yeah, that's an absolute positioning device. All the work is in vain. Well, not really. So let's take that. Let's plant it in the same spot. And adjust just minimally to know what's going on. And so what differences do we have now? We do not know what the position change was. So either we have to remember the previous cursor position, which I would not really want to do.
Or you're setting the position absolutely, so you can just use the absolute position and it'll go to the top left, right?
I'm setting the position after the move. Oh, yeah, actually that's not bad. That's not bad. So let's use the absolute position of the event. And we do not need that here yet. So delta x and delta y. Let's just start with x. So the cursor is going to have the position somewhere. And we already right.
Just do shell state dot x equals absolute position dot x and shell state dot y equals absolute position dot y.
So that
the window will at least move, right?
Yeah, okay, that would at least move. That sounds fair. It's not going to move very nicely, but that's at least something. So the issue with that is that we are always going to be dragging the window by its corner or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's good enough. For now. Where is the issue? Delta. We don't have Delta anymore.
That was print line.
Oh, I'll bring the print line. Okay. And no way. Nothing happens. How could that be? Well, I don't know how that could be, but that means we have more debugging to do. So shell state. I'm making a copy of that. So what I'm suspecting is that, well, let's just see whether it enters anywhere at all. Blinking works and moving absolute motion works. Oh, So what we have here is the actual motion.
Maybe it's not the zero. The
handle mismatch is one thing, but this looking at the value that we have, that like I find it hard to believe that my pointer is at 0.6. So this must be in relative coordinates.
No, it's in 0 to 1, I think.
No. So it's 1 is what?
Yeah, but it's outside the window.
Yeah. It looks like it's.
Oh, you would want it for the size.
Yeah, it's relative to the whole display. When I move the pointer outside, it goes above 1. So what we need to do is look at the output now. And where do I get the output? The output should be somewhere in the stage again. This is getting really complicated, so I'm not going to do it properly, but I'm just going to use the first output that we find, which should be fine because there's only one output, and multiply by the by its size. So there should be also an output handler. Yeah, so now I have the question of whether this, what kind of coordinates the general thing should be. Scale, it's fine, but that's not necessarily the limit. Oh, I'm not sure it's here. It's just not there. Oh, yeah. Maybe we can find it.
Can we just multiply it by a fixed constant? Like, doesn't really matter right now.
Yeah, I guess.
Should be the multiply from the size of the window. Should be somehow.
If I cannot find this quickly, then that's exactly what I'm going to do. And I cannot see the size of the output, so let's just multiply by a constant. My favorite thing to do.
42.
So what did it look like? It looks like kind of like 800.
600
awesome. 600.
It was the exact size I swear.
We can check that. I have this fancy thing.
Yes.
Enabled that I've never used. It's going to tell me how big exactly my window is. It's just
size
900 by 600. Yay!
Was enough.
So was enough? No. No, that's 900. I guess we don't need it at the moment. So let's do it again. And what? No. That cannot be the same. Yeah, no, I actually like this feature. I do not want my numbers to be multiplied by the numbers on one side. Okay, so. And clicking works, moving wild. Okay. That's all thanks to you. Yeah, so this is the kind of things that you have to do when you are implementing a window manager, which, as you have seen, is fun, especially when you are dealing with some library which was originally written for C. So yeah, in the end, you can probably work through that if you really want to. So this is not really a daunting task that much, but yeah. I'm going to spare you from another demonstration, seeing how this one was really much longer than it looked like it would be. But there is this second library which is more rough than this one, which is called Smithy. And if you want to try with your new awesome ways to manage Windows, that's where you should probably start. And I'm going to start doing that for my private experimentations. Yeah, so that's what I had to show you. Thank you very much.
Question. The
The composer now is not running kind of natively, is translating the composing instruction to X to be able to renderize that in a way. This is the X, so it means that the composer itself is nested in an X window.
So, yeah, it's a nested composer, and most of the compositors that I've seen which are doing Wayland, they support nested operations, so that should be fine. I think it's not, they have like three different modes of operation. KMS, X, and I don't know, frame buffer or something. So it's really basically all they care about is to have something to draw on and to receive events. So that's rather simple. Yeah, that's how I do the compositor works on at work too.
Next train to Dusseldorf is in 15 minutes or 75. So
75?
An hour later. Next one. So
okay. Yeah.
Thanks for the talk.
I have a question.
Go on.
Like, you had this beautiful slide where you say Wayland is a simpler thing than X. And I was wondering how much of this is true, and also if this will be true in 10 years.
So, this is true and untrue, and depending on how you look at it. The protocol design is simpler. But because it's simpler, so the general design, as far as you can tell, it's simpler. But first, you have to deal with the multiple protocols, which should, I don't know what the situation was on. Like, it also had some extensions, as far as you can tell.
Everything is an extension, and explicitly a message goes to a proxy, and then it looks for the proper extension to handle only one minimal thing. And then it goes back to the proxy and back to the client. So when you want to do an operation, every time it's going back and forth with multiple elements. That's why Wayland says, okay,
So I guess that's more than I knew. So that's one complaint that you could have about Wayland, that there are so many different protocols that are not really compatible. But if we had that in X, then we are not really making things worse. But what I've seen people complain about is that in order to make a client work, you need 1,000 lines of boilerplate, which is not the case with X. So I don't know if it comes from a simpler design, maybe it should be called lower level or something, but apparently, well, this is the decision that people made. So the simplest application that you can make run on Wayland is really, really annoying, because you have to set up a lot of things manually. You have to set up the cursor pointer manually, which is kind of funny. You have to set up the GL context, the surfaces, before you can even start doing anything. I can show you that because I have it somewhere. Let's get rid of that again. So I can show that. Let's get rid of that as well. And there are a couple of examples in the WL Roots projects which are pretty bare bones because they are just meant for testing. And one of these examples is not here, but it should be somewhere here. Oh, yeah. Somewhat slow. Examples and pointer. The pointer example is called pointer, so it should be simple. So I'm going to move it on this screen. And let's see, that's 400 lines of code, and this is just the main function. So this is quite annoying that you have to do, like you have to deal with input notify, output notify, frame notify, handle patch. That's kind of reasonable, but there is a lot of things that you have to do. And what's the most annoying thing to me is that you have to set up your surfaces yourself. But I don't see where it is. Yeah, is it not there? Let's check. So there's a pointer event, that's reasonable. That's touch events. school event. I have, oh, that's tablet. And yeah, I don't really see anywhere. Oh, right. A better example is going to be the shell example, and I have no idea what this is as well. But there should be a top level declaration tablet simple. Well, maybe a simple example is going to. Oh, wait, there's a layer shell. Okay, let's open both of those. Simple example is still 100 lines of code, but I like this one better because it's not that bad. But it doesn't seem like it's going to show any windows. But this is the actual example that actually does something, and this is creating a panel, or basically a empty window, and I can also demonstrate that since we have...
But that's C.
Yeah, it's C, but like, you can get an idea of how much stuff is necessary just to get something running. And this is a simple example that just shows a square. I can even demonstrate that because that's really quick. I have everything in order to show that. How do I? I said it's quick, but today my computer doesn't seem to be quick at all. Yeah.
This complication is because you're giving for every client more power, so you need this information from the client because it's not just the server designed everything, but every client has your sandboxing, so you're not getting any people, or they come from someone else.
Generally, no. Exactly. I definitely know that it's not because of sandboxing, because like while sandboxing is allowed, it's not a core part of the system. But when it comes to like selecting a point, I mean, so I that would have been easier to answer if I knew how X was designed. But if you have to deal with everything like setting up a surface, setting up a window, setting up a pointer, setting up everything you want to go with it, setting up binding to the keyboard, binding to the pointer as well, and everything. You have to really do everything step by step, and once like OpenGL stuff comes in, you have to touch some arcane interfaces. And that becomes annoying quickly. I should have the example somewhere. Oh, yeah. So I should close that first. And this window is not working because I opened them in the wrong order and I ended up having two compositors at the same time. So. Yeah, so this is an example that I showed you, the one that contains like 1,000 lines or so. Yeah, I showed it to you somewhere, but I don't remember in which window. Sorry about that. Oh, yeah, so that's the example that has 650 lines, and all it does is this. And no, wait, actually not all it does is this. It also changes color when I click. So this is quite annoying to have to write so much code to just have this much.
Isn't Composer, Linux there is, when you start a root window and everything between the new windows inherit everything from that, so that's more or less how it works. And you can redefine stuff for your windows, but you have the root window.
Yeah.
But it's the same. So, I mean, so the Composer has a root window, and everything, I mean, kind of same inheritance, or
the concept of windows is not the same. Wayland is based on surfaces, which is basically, well, which is also not the same as buffers, but it's kind of similar. So there are three layers before you can get here. First, you have to allocate a buffer, which is containing your pixel data, which is kind of a low-level primitive, so it's fine. You have to have it. Then there's surface, which wraps the buffer and contains information like the scaling factor, and I don't know what else. So then you have the surface. And when you have the surface, you can use it for several different ways. And you can actually start using the surface inside protocols. One of those protocols is the protocol for just displaying windows. The other protocol is the protocol for displaying panels, which is, this one is using even though it's not a panel. So you can plug it into different protocols, but the resulting Windows is just is not the same. One type of the window is the shell that we played with earlier, and this type of the window is a layer shell, which is a completely different thing. So there is no like a root window which you could derive from. You have to set things up over and over again. There is a concept of subsurfaces, which is also not like the root window from your description. The surfaces exist only to be able to set up a different buffer with a different mode. For example, I don't know, instead of RGB, YUV or something like that, so that you can have separate areas within a single window. So that's useful for videos, for example. But it's just like, that's the extent to which subsurfaces are useful. So you do not get all this inheritance, really.
How much of that boiler code is really required? And how much do you think will just be put into some library and you will never touch it again when?
I don't know. So this is something that I do not expect sane people to ever do. I think that sane people will just use GTK or Qt or SDL or whatever they want, and they will just forget about all that crap. So yeah, I don't really think that anyone will write that except for compositor authors or people writing those libraries. It's actually much nicer this way, because you can then take your favorite application and call the interesting protocols directly. So if you have a protocol for screenshots, you can call the screenshot protocol from your application, like as kind of an alien call or something like that. So this is just one piece of Wayland inside your whole GTK application. And this is how the shell that we are working on is actually operating. The shell is called Fosh, and like we have a private protocol, which is only valid between the shell and between our compositor, and it's like carrying the names of the available windows so that the shell can display names of the windows and switch between the windows or something like that. So this is actually a nice thing that you do not have to dig into all of this. You can just use the parts that are interesting to you.
I don't know the feasibility. I said before that you cannot have a fully native Wayland implementation in Rust, mm-hmm. but then when you have OpenGL, the DC has to link somewhere.
No.
It would be possible to wrap C around, right?
Around Rust.
Yeah.
I don't know.
In general, I mean.
I'm going to be very happy if you try it.
Because normally what happens is, okay, there is a C library and then you create a wrap from
Rust
wrap behind it. But in this case, what you need is just the opposite way. You need to expose a C library that mm-hmm. has to be linked to some Rust symbols. No idea, but that would be the...
So there is a whole discussion on Reddit, and I can bring up the name of the guy who started... Oh no, it wasn't me. So yeah, there is a whole thread on Reddit that continues on the Perceptia project. If you remember the name Perceptia, you should be able to find it. There is an issue which talks about that and how they see different ways out of it, and like they saw a way out of it in terms of the client, but they didn't see a way out of it in the compositor. And like there was a couple of months worth of discussion with two separate issues where this thread moved, and like it just died out. I don't know what happened to it. Maybe people lost interest or something. Yeah. If you try that, I'm going to be very happy, because that's really important.
Yeah, there is a rationale for that. Normally it works the other way around. We don't provide a C interface from a Rust code.
So what they say is that the structure is really deeply integrated, like the data that's being passed is deeply integrated into the whole C ecosystem, like it touches upon different structures. I don't know. Perhaps it just carries too much data, too many pointers to make it feasible.
Yeah, but it's more in this case how C works. Basically, you get the structure and then you go whatever you want. You have then fully access to the memory. But in this case, if you have and then you obviously then you cannot link the libraries cannot be linked, dynamically linked to static composite, and so that's why C works in a completely different way to share libraries that RAS doesn't provide, so that's the way.
Okay. No, go for it. So I have a word of encouragement from the discussion side. They said that making a Wayland base Wayland library in Rust, implementation of the protocol in Rust is easier than wrapping around the C library. So maybe that's the push that's necessary. Yeah, but like since Wayland is not going anywhere and Fedora is using it already, even as a default, I think, and everything is moving towards that. Firefox is even moving towards that, even though it's not really supporting it. I think there's no escaping. Like games are going to, like closed source software in general is going to hold it up a bit because it's compatible only with X and obviously not with Wayland. It's going to stay there and sit there forever, but in general, everything in the open source area is moving towards Wayland, so there's no escaping. So yeah, that kind of a library would be really, really useful.